The American walks every day normal, going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Tower, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
The deliberate and deadly attacks which were carried out yesterday against our country were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad had come to America.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
The Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight at every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. Area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that notebook eating American lover, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you be?
Good evening, Vito. Great to be here, as always. What a week.
What a sports week. I mean, think about that sports week that we had this past weekend, and especially with PGA Golf with the WGC Dell Match Play Tournament. It pitted the top 64 players in the world in a match play event. They were paired into 16 four-man groups. And each player got to play three rounds, and the best player from each bracket advanced to what they had, the Sweet 16, just like March Madness. And you lose, you go home. And it really turned out some great play. And I'll tell you, you watched it, I'm sure, right?
Yes, bits and parts of it. I didn't catch the last day, but what I caught was pretty exciting.
Yeah, well, American Scottie Scheffler versus Dustin Johnson and American Kevin Kisner. American Kevin Kisner versus Kevin Kisner played Corey Connors from Canada for the Final Four. And Scottie Scheffler, 25 years old, he beat Dustin Johnson, former number one player in the world. And Bulldog Kevin Kisner, I think he's like 42, 43 years old. A past winner in this format beat Corey Connors to advance into the finals. And so it pitted Scottie Scheffler against Kevin Kisner, an All-American match. And I'll tell you, if Scottie Scheffler won his match, he would become the number one ranked player in the world at age 25. And Scheffler continued to play great. He beat Kevin Kisner 4-3. That's 4-3 to win the WGC Dell match play event. And now is the number one ranked player in the world at age 25. This young man has won at all levels of his competitive golf. So congratulations to Scottie Scheffler. It was great playing. He notched his third victory in like six events. You know, sometimes what a player needs to just win at least one time to get that feeling, and then all of a sudden the floodgates open up. So it was a really cool competition. Great playing. There were some guys like I forgot the guy's name, Richard Bland. He was ranked 64th. He was like the 58th. Excuse me. He made it up to like the Sweet 16. The guy was like the spoiler. He was like St. Peter's in the NCAA college basketball, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of...
Congratulations. That's pretty awesome. Also in the news was Vito Esposito won club championship over the weekend. Did you read about that?
No. All right, we'll move on.
Congratulations on a hard-won victory. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. It was fun. Whew, stressful, but it was fun. Yeah. Not as stressful as, you know, and it didn't get the $2.8 million that Scottie Scheffler got, but anyways.
they didn't have a $2 million purse for you?
No. They had a purse, but it was not $2 million in there.
Hey, maybe a C note. It's still good.
Well, thanks.
Well, congratulations. That's quite an accomplishment.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it was fun. Weather was really incredible. So incredibly tough, let's just put it that way. College basketball. Hey, it's down to the Final Four, the Duke Blue Devils, Kansas Jayhawks, North Carolina Tar Heels, and Villanova. I forgot what their mascot is, sorry. Well, these four teams will duke it out, no pun intended, for the rights to play in the title game. This is Duke's coach, Krzyzewski, is looking for redemption against North Carolina because the Duke Blue Devils are going to play North Carolina Tar Heels to determine who goes into the final game. And it could be Coach K's final game of his coaching career. And I got to say one thing, man, it's really cool to see how his team has responded. They beat some good teams along the way, including Cal State Fullerton, Michigan State, Tom Izzo, Texas Tech, and they beat Arkansas, an SEC team that really played tough the entire basketball tournament, and I thought that was going to be, you know, Duke's toughest competition, but they handled it very well. And North Carolina beat Marquette, Baylor, UCLA, which is on the rise, and they beat the Cinderella team of the tournament, St. Peter's. And I'll tell you, North Carolina, just to go off on sports real quick, North Carolina looked like a pro team against St. Peter's. They just manhandled them, and they beat them 69-49, 20 points. But I got to give a lot of credit to North Carolina, I mean to St. Peter's. You know, there's always one team a year that seems to come out of nowhere and have a great run, and St. Peter's was it. So they have nothing to be ashamed of. It's tough losing in the, you know, in the final eight, but hey, they gave it a good run. So Kansas beat Texas Southern, Creighton, Providence, and Miami of Florida, and Villanova beat Delaware, Ohio State, Michigan, and Houston. You know, it's almost like Kansas and Villanova didn't have as tough of a schedule. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, who comes out of the Duke, North Carolina versus Kansas and Villanova. That should be a pretty good game. And that'll be April the 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Well, Kansas and Villanova are ranked numbers 1 and 2 respectively. Now Duke and North Carolina, Duke is ranked 2nd. North Carolina is ranked 8th. But I think Duke and North Carolina is going to be the game. I think that's the one to watch. If you're only going to watch one, that's it before the championship.
I'll tell you what. You and I think alike. You and I think very much alike. I think the same thing. I think the Duke-North Carolina game is going to be better than the final game. You know, Duke has a bone to pick. They have a redemption. They're seeking redemption against North Carolina, and North Carolina has to prove that they're made of. You know, they handed Duke the loss in the conference game, and I'm sure the Duke Blue Devils are not forgetting that. And it just shows that North Carolina is up to the test. And I'll tell you, I'm really happy for Hubert Davis, who took over the reins at North Carolina as coach, because, you know, I think North Carolina struggled after Dean Smith left. And so now they have – it looks like that even with Roy Williams taking over after Roy Williams, I think it was a good choice, and it could be that Hubert Davis is going to be the coach for a long time, as you know, health-wise. So.
Oh, no question. I think North Carolina is going to take it. It's going to be close. Couldn't tell you. I don't know what the odds are, but I think North Carolina is going to take this one.
They look pretty strong. Didn't watch it, but it's all over Twitter. There was controversy at the Oscars last night. Didn't even know the Oscars even occurred yesterday. But apparently, Oscars, the Academy Awards.
Oscar the garbage can guy on Sesame Street.
Yeah, with the cookie guy, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you're talking about with the actors and Hollywood Oscars.
Yeah.
No,
you know,
that.
The fragile ones up there in the fragile ones up in Hollywood. So they had the Oscars yesterday, and Chris Rock apparently was the MC. And of course, you know, the Oscars likes to be politically correct and make sure you got a black guy, make sure there's a gay, and you know, and anyways, so will he decides that he's going to he meaning. What's his name? Chris Rock's making some jokes, and he makes a joke about Will Smith's wife, Jada. And apparently she suffers from hair loss, propecia. And, but he said something about G.I. Jane. She's ready for G.I. Jane. She has to shave her head, something to that effect. Didn't know. Yeah, whatever it was, it read. Anyways, Will Smith took exception to that. First he laughed, but then I guess his wife didn't take kindly to the comment. And the video shows Will Smith walking up to the stage to Chris Rock and then gives him an open-handed slap right across the face. And then supposedly it was unscripted. And then Will Smith had a few choice words, including dropping some F-bombs. The interesting thing is the U.S. media, U.S. TV, quickly, I guess, left the market, and the Australian feed stayed throughout the whole incident, and it caught Will Smith's F-bomb tirade. Yeah, that's right. They put on the Oscars and a hockey game broke out. You're exactly right. Will Smith dropped a stick, and he walked up to Chris Rock and rocked his jaw. And so there's F-bombs dropped. And so that's the talk of the town about the way Will Smith kind of disgraced the Oscars celebration. And, you know, it's funny. I just remembered about 3 or 4 years ago, it was Will Smith's wife, Jada, who accused the Academy of being racist because her husband didn't win the Academy Award and there were no black people that won any type of best actor or best actress award. And so she was claiming that the Oscars was racist. So, of course, being woke, they had to change their whole way of voting. Like, okay, you know, it's like choose the best person to be on a Supreme Court, not by color, but, you know, the best person, like put their applications in a stack and then choose the best person. But no, it's always symbolism over substance with the woke Marxists. So now, you know, it's only fitting that Will Smith now had to apologize, and now the Academy is going to see what kind of action they're going to take against them. And, You know, but hey, identity politics does this. And Big is right. You know, Bigfoot's right. They put on the Oscars and a hockey game broke out. Just ridiculous.
I forgot that Jada Smith made the big stink several years ago about not enough blacks in the Oscars.
Yeah.
And it ends up that her husband, Will Smith, won the Oscar for some movie that nobody saw on Apple TV. Oh, what was it? Oh, it was a sports movie with the tennis. The Serena Williams sisters, I think he played the father. And it was only on streaming on Apple, so nobody saw it. But
Richard Williams.
And now you got a black host, you got black winners. Now it's funny how that works. Even if you look on commercials, there's been a cultural shift on commercials on regular TV.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed it as of late. There are a couple of articles that were written about it now there's a black and Hispanic together or switched out on just about every type of advertising. And the ones that are being left out are Asians and Caucasians. White people are getting the short end on all these commercial jobs.
Well, it's funny you say it because yesterday I saw a commercial with a black guy and an Asian woman. And then the other one was Adidas. Now, Adidas has gone totally woke. They're celebrating in their commercials transgenders. So they jumped on the bandwagon, you know, pretty quickly. So, you know, it's okay now that it's perfectly acceptable for transgender dudes to cross-dress and then, you know, beat the snot out of women. And then women have to, you know, here they are taking a back seat once again in sports, you know, to the dominant male.
Well, can you define a woman for me?
Well, I am not a scientist.
Thank you, Judge. Next question, please.
But if you had to ask me as an Italian now, when I look at Sophia Loren, Maron, she's a woman.
That would have been a great answer.
You know, 5'6". She had a size 2 waist, just 38 breasts, and just an absolute beautiful. That is a woman. Mamma mia.
That would have been a great answer. When I look at Sophia Loren, that's a woman. When I look at Dr. Rachel Levine, that is not a woman. Dr. Rachel Levine, if you don't know, is the cross-dressing Health and Human Services Undersecretary, who is a man who dresses as a woman and looks not very womanly.
Oh, God almighty. This is just, it's that again, we got symbolism over substance once again, you know, I mean, and to think this is acceptable of an answer. Well, I'm not a scientist, Al. I'm not a scientist, you know, that's just garbage. That's junk. And it's more of the same. And you wonder why, you know, America is divided and the progressives, the Marxists are in control. You know, the New York Times, here's another hypocritical DNC run newspaper. And I am claiming that they are part of the DNC. They're doing their bidding work, the Democrat National Committee. Should say the Democrat National Communist Committee. But apparently now you have the character assassination of Joe Manchin continues. It's going to be taken up to another level. I was reading some headlines. I won't subscribe to the New York Times and give them my money, but I was reading the headline and I was reading some stories about the headline. But apparently, the New York Times now has made it their mission to malign and to smear Joe Manchin. So Joe Manchin is not falling in line with the Democrat Communist Party and the reckless spending spree that's going on. And so now the New York Times took it upon themselves to slime Joe Manchin. He helped West Virginia power plant that is the sole customer of his private coal business. Now, it's ironic now that the New York Slimes goes after Joe Manchin, yet the same rag is silent about the Biden crime family and the sordid and pornographic affairs of Hunter Biden and the Biden crime families as the New York Times buries their head in the sand. And that tells to show that they are beholden to the Democrat National Committee. Joe Biden has single-handedly screwed each and every working American and their families with his failed energy policies. Each and every day, Americans are screwed at the pump. Each and every day, Americans are screwed at the pump. Gas prices rising 200% since President Dummy was installed in office. And now the New York Times, a mouthpiece for the Democrat National Committee, is launching an all-out assault to take down Senator Joe Manchin because he's not falling in lockstep with the other Democrat Marxists that are in Congress who are bent on fiscal irresponsibility. The $1.5 trillion spending spree, the $5.3 trillion reckless spending spree. So now go out and malign Joe Manchin. But hey, don't talk about Joe Biden. Don't talk about Hunter Biden getting $3 million from the mayor of Moscow's wife. Talk about the drug use and the paraphernalia. Oh, and by the way, don't talk about Hunter Biden having Defense Department encryption keys on his laptop. A private citizen having Defense Department encryption keys on his laptop. So now since Joe Biden has effectively killed the U.S. energy industry, okay, Joe Biden and his fellow anti-Americans in Congress want to destroy the coal industry, putting tens of thousands of men and women out of business. So what's the New York Times response? Is to malign, is to slime Joe Manchin and go after him to take him down because he's not falling in lockstep with the corrupt and the sordid Biden crime family. Joe Biden has covered up for his crackhead son, Hunter Biden. The Biden family has profited. They've made money off of Ukrainian energy, Burisma. They made money from China. They've made money right down along the line at taxpayer expense. But the destructive Democrat Party propaganda machine is in full swing, and they are on a mission out to destroy Senator Joe Manchin.
Well, it's he dared to venture off the reservation, and he's getting spanked because these Democrat Marxists are a nasty bunch. If you stay on the reservation, you can sleep with a Chinese spy named Feng Feng, Senator Representative Swalwell, and have nothing happen to you. In fact, you get a promotion. But if you're a Joe Manchin and you stick with principle, and then you get pilloried and literally ostracized from your Democrat Party. They do mess around.
And think about this, okay? So what is West Virginia's chief employment? It's coal. And the Obama-Biden regime was bent on putting the coal industry out of business. They decimated two West Virginia towns. They, meaning Biden and Obama, decimated two West Virginia towns. The average pay was $66,000 a year. And it was the mission of the Marxists in the Obama-Biden regime, including Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, to shut down the coal mining industry in the United States. Now, mind you, China is going to build 350 more or 400 more coal fire plants. You've got India building 100 more. You've got Japan building, 15, 20 more. So everywhere around the world, they're building more coal fire plants except in the United States where the green scam is taking effect. And the green scam is this new Mother Earth religion. And it was the mission of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and the corrupt Joe Biden to shut down the coal mining industry. And they decimated towns. They decimated towns in West Virginia by shutting down two coal mines, that the average wage was $66,000 a year. And so these people, these miners now go on unemployment with the state of West Virginia to the tune of what, $300 a week? after making $66,000 a year. And this is the same party that proclaims that they're for the working Americans, which is garbage. It is a phony and fraudulent soundbite by the left wing. And now the New York slime is going after Joe Manchin because he is pro-energy. The United States of America should not be the one that is supporting the rest of the world with this green scam that is the new religion of the left wing. This whole green movement is nothing but extracting more and more dollars out of the American treasury. And the American taxpayers are paying dearly. And we're seeing it right now. We are paying dearly at the pump. We've gone from $1.89 a gallon when President Trump was in office to $4 a gallon. And we're supposed to accept that. And then the arrogant SOBs of the Biden-Harris regime have the audacity to tell you and me, just go out and buy an electric car. That's so you can stem it. Fuck you. Okay, many people don't have a car payment. Many people are struggling right now. And so you're telling us to get mired in more and more debt? $50,000 for an electric car? And you're telling us that's the way to offset this whole thing? And what powers these electric locations? You know, fuel, fossil fuel. It's a scam. And we're being duped by this new religion that of Mother Earth. And it's right here in the United States of America. Oh, did you see what Big put in the chat room about Fang Fang, Al? According to rumors on Twitter, Fang Fang died in that plane crash in China. Now,
interesting.
Of course, we'd have to take that with a grain of salt. How do you like that? I got my chemistry, I think. But, you know, it's interesting. When the plane went down, the first thing I thought about is I want to know who's on that plane. I want a manifest of the passengers. And if that is true, Big, you know, that just goes to show who's in control. And again, Fang Fang did her job. She manipulated and got in bed literally with Eric Swalwell. She gained access to the United States Congress and certainly Eric Swalwell had made that happen. And she, who knows what she told the Chinese. But this is how sorted of a mess the United States Congress is. It's how sorted the cabal is. And that's on both sides of the political aisle. And I know it's very easy to point to the Democrat Party because they are one sorted mess. They are dishonest. They lack transparency, and they hate America. They hate our constitutional republic. And this is just yet another example of what we're seeing, you know, in Congress happen, with regards to Joe Manchin taking a stand. And you're not going to kill, okay, the very industry that is keeping West Virginia alive. And when, in fact, you've got China continuing to build coal-fired plants. You've got India building coal-fired plants. You've got Europe building coal-fired plants. You've got Japan building coal-fired plants. And the United States has to sit there with their thumb up their ass because of these green scammers that are in Washington, D.C.? I don't think so. So you know what? Good for Joe Manchin for hanging in there. You know, I don't know how long he'll last in Congress with the constant pressure and the maligning that's going on, the propaganda arm of the Democrat, you know, Communist Party. But it shall be interesting.
Well, who knows? Yep, we got another alleged Chinese agent who grew his connections to Democrat Representative Tom Suozzi of New York and gave maximum campaign contributions going back to 2015. Now, Suozzi is not referenced in the charges. However, Chinese spies have actually targeted other Democratic House members. For example, Eric Swalwell, Senator Dianne Feinstein were both compromised. Suozzi serves on the Congressional Executive Commission on China, which keeps track of human and civil liberties abuses in the country. So there you go. They are making ways into our government, no telling how deep. And one thing to remember is with Chinese nationals is that if President Xi or any leader in the Chinese government calls on a Chinese national to do something or anything on behalf of the Chinese government, the communist Chinese government, they must do it. If they have family or friends back home that are known, they will, if they do not cave and do what is asked by their communist Chinese brothers in China, their friends and family back home could face imprisonment or death. So every, and I say every, Chinese national here in the United States is a potential spy when that button needs to be pushed by President Xi, which is something that nobody talks about.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Susie there, Tom Susie, kind of comes from, you know, my old neck of the woods in Nassau County, Long Island. He was also mayor of Glen Cove, and I got to tell you, Glen Cove is no cheap location. It's the North Shore, it's on the North Shore of Long Island. But interesting how that's kind of been buried with his association with Chinese. And, you know, isn't it kind of funny, how Democrats have no problem with embracing communism? What did we miss along the way in our American history? What did we miss that, you remember Russia, what Soviet Union was communism, and communism is bad. The Chinese are a communist country. The North Vietnamese are a communist country. The Korean War, the Vietnam War, was to chase out the communists from the regions of Korea and of Vietnam. And, you know, we were taking this high road that we have to stamp out communism and democracy is the best way, and certainly it is. But it's now fashionable for politicians in America to jump on board and to embrace communism. And all the communists have to do with these sordid individuals is throw money at them. And it just goes to show how these politicians today have whored themselves out for the almighty dollar. And it's pretty sad, you know, from Dianne Feinstein, who has been in the United States Senate for, what, 50 years, to this Tom Suozzi and to Eric Swalwell, whose political career was furthered by communist China. What is it? You know, I mean, I'm sure Bigfoot, Ducky, dogs, Alaskan Sioux, you know, what is it about communism that we missed in high school and we missed in our history classes to show that it's destructive? It's controlling. It is one reason why our constitutional republic is the most superior in the world, the form of government in the world, and yet the politicians in the United States government have embraced and like the Biden crime family have taken an exorbitant amount of money from the Chinese, from the communist countries of China, of Russia, and they've embraced it. They've embraced this radical anti-American ideology. What did we miss, Al, in our history class?
I don't know. I believe that our republic, our constitutional republic, is the greatest, and our constitution is the greatest governmental foundation, greatest governmental construct ever in this great nation of ours. That's why we, in 240 years, have grown from a nothing country to a superpower. It's because it's our republic unleashes each individual's ability to succeed or fail based on their own merit and profit for their ingenuity or lose everything by failure of bad risks and bad judgment. That is what makes America great. And I always thought that was the best way to go. But apparently if you're mediocre, then communism is the way to go. I mean, look at Bernie Sanders.
Yeah,
he is a proud socialist. And he was a loser up until, but now that he wrote a book and got $1 million, he says, hey, you want $1 million? Go write a book. Little a-hole. I'll never forget that quote.
Hey, and you know, and it's funny. There's a guy who embraces, you know, the almighty dollar, but then tells you that you have to pay your fair share, and the, you know, it's important that we pay for college education and child health care. It's not sure we should be paying for child health care but don't tax my money it's amazing.
Yeah, well, China believes that they are fighting against the West's, that's our, immorality, weaknesses, and hypocrisy, and that these anti-Western Chinese information operations are conducted on our social media, official Chinese state-backed media channels, and through statements by Chinese officials and diplomats. They are using our, as you say frequently, they are using our First Amendment to destroy our First Amendment.
Yeah. Yep. It's amazing. And, you know, there's another entity that uses our First Amendment to destroy the First Amendment, uses our Bill of Rights to destroy our Bill of Rights, and that's the con men of care. And the con men of care, you know, it's laughable what they do, but you have to point this out because the absurdity of it all, if you don't address it, they think they can do as they please. And it really, actually, it doesn't matter because the con men of care have no conscience. But this is the Women's History Month. And guess who the con men of care have named as their Muslim Woman Writing History Month? Take a guess. Just take a guess. And it's not Sue from New Mexico.
Hillary Clinton.
Close. It's incestuous Ilhan Omar, the woman who does not have command of the English language. Ilhan Omar is best known for several firsts. She's a liar. She's a cheat. She's a swindler. Oh, that's a wrong article. Sorry. Omar is the first Somali American who's a representative of Mogadishu and the first naturalized citizen of African birth to serve in the United States Congress. That's not true because Barry Satoru is the first African by birth to serve in the United States Congress. And she's the first woman of color to represent Minnesota. She is the first woman to wear a hijab on the House floor after successfully advocating for a change to the House rule that denied her religious freedom to wear a head covering, you see? Using the First Amendment to destroy the First Amendment. And since we have a political correct mentality now and it's symbolism over substance, House rules don't matter. Because it's not compulsory to wear a hijab. It is not compulsory to wear a hijab. And the con men of care prove it with their own lobbyists who are females who don't wear hijab. Her roots as a 12-year-old refugee. Do we have any kind of solace music to play in it? Oh, Kumbaya. Here we go. Let's play this Kumbaya in the background. Let's play it in the background. Just here we go. Her roots as a 12-year-old refugee fleeing civil war in Somalia and growing up as an immigrant in Minnesota shaped Omar's belief that everyone deserves an equal shot to achieve the American. Through Omar, who doesn't have command of the English language, gives voice to the disenfranchised, the marginalized people, and immigrants like herself. Bullshit. A controversial figure who doesn't have command of the English language, Omar has received death threats for her frankness in amplifying the voices of marginalized people in the United States around the world, drawing on her grandfather's emphasis on the importance of democracy. Right. As she espouses communism in Congress and as she wants to deny you your constitutional right and my constitutional right of free speech when she doesn't agree with your speech. Right. Democracy. Sure. Okay. And this is how the con men of care conduct themselves. Okay. You know, when the the anti-American Ilhan Omar went on her anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, Jew-hating diatribe in Congress. It was Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, who came to her aid and stated that she didn't have command of the English language. And instead of doing a mea culpa, she just continues to double down on her dissent. She doesn't believe in democracy. She believes in domination. And it's all this crap with the comment of care, and they continue to laud this individual who supports the BDS movement, who supports anti-Israel and anti-Jew legislation. And the con men of care continue to allow to get away with this ruse, with their propaganda. And that's all this turns out to be, is the propaganda of the con men of care. I don't know if you saw that, Al, but then, of course, they're continuing to elevate her, which means there's no consequences for their actions. And this is what happens when you've got the leadership inside the Democrat Party who run and cover their members of Congress. She should be summarily rejected for her chronic anti-Semitic, anti-Israel and anti-Jewish voice. Her actions have spoke louder than words. She has defrauded the U.S. government by marrying her brother. She has cheated on her expenses. She has defrauded the U.S. government, committed campaign fund violation, and yet she's heralded by the Islamic world. She's doing her job. And if I remember correctly, it was the Muslim Brotherhood who said the Ikhwan must understand that the work in America is kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the United States of America from within. And this person is within the U.S. government. And that should give each and every American pause as to what the mission is by the Muslim Brotherhood. This writing that was uncovered in a sub-basement in Annandale, Virginia, a mission statement that was written in 1994, continues to play out, one, by the Muslim Brotherhood, and two, now by the Democrat Party in America. Ilhan Omar, representative from Mogadishu, should be summarily rejected. She should be impeached from Congress, but she's rewarded for her anti-Semitic belief system, her anti-American belief system, for her communist belief system, trying to undermine our Bill of Rights, your Bill of Rights, your freedom of speech. Hey, but that's what communists do. That's what anti-Americans do.
Yep. And her most famous quote, the most disgusting quote I have heard out of anybody's mouth, she said about 9/11. She said that some people did something that day. And after that, all of us were starting to lose access to our civil liberties. People did something to us at 9/11. Some people did something. We were attacked. Over almost 4,000 people were killed. Thousands more injured, hundreds, thousands have died since then due to complications from the dust, asbestos, and cancers from ground zero.
Oh, hey, here you go. I got it. Found it. Here.
And my mother, Frances Harrows. Good morning, brothers and sisters in good faith. Listen. Some people did something. I am here today to honor my 76-year-old mother, Frances, on the solemn 18th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Mom, we all miss you and love you very much. This day I also remember over 200 personal friends and coworkers that I knew that died. I remember Virginia Fox, Warren Grifka, and Lou Avisano. And I remember your sons and your daughters, your parents and siblings, and all first responders. I remember all. I remember them all and pray with you for them today. Some people did something, said a freshman congresswoman from Minnesota, to support and justify the creation of CARE. Today I am here to respond to you exactly who did what to whom. Madam, objectively speaking, we know who and what was done. There is no uncertainty about that. Why your confusion? On that day, 19 Islamic terrorists, members of Al-Qaeda, killed over 3,000 people and caused billions of dollars of economic damage. Is that clear? But as to whom? I was attacked. Your relatives and friends were attacked. Our constitutional freedoms were attacked. And our nation's founding on Judeo-Christian principles were attacked. That's what some people did. Got that now? We are here today, Congresswoman, to tell you and the squad just who did what to whom. Show respect in honoring them, please. American patriotism in your position demand it. For God and country, amen.
That was a 9/11 speech, and I tell you, Al, that you're absolutely right. Some people did something, and that was uttered by incestuous Ilhan Omar, representative of Mogadishu. Some people did something. This is what the Muslim, the fundamentalists believe happened. Some people did something. You know, they can't say that it was 19 Muslim terrorists that were funded by Saudi Arabia who flew planes into the Twin Towers in New York City, who flew a plane into the Pentagon and a plane that was taken down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. It caused billions upon billions of dollars in economic damage, as the gentleman stated. Some people did something. And this is the type of person that the con men of CARE continue to laud. Some people did something. What is it, 20 right. years later, 21 years later, this mentality that some people did something still exists, and they're allowed to get away with this type of fundamental, this type of radicalism. For all intents and purposes, we'll call it radicalism because that seems to be the PC word, okay? But what about the fundamentalism? This fundamentalism, that's the fundamental belief system of anti-Americans like Ilhan Omar, representative of Mogadishu. We have to accept that. No, we don't have to accept that.
Well, she said that CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something. Some people did something to you. Some people did something to me, these 19 Islamic Jihadi hijackers. But in that statement, these 19 Islamic hijackers did not do anything to her, Representative Ilhan Omar. If you really dig deep into the meaning of each and every word and how it was constructed, because they recognize that some people did something, not to her, because I believe that she identifies with the 19 hijackers. I believe that she supports the advancement of Islam in America, around the world, in Mogadishu, here in the United States of America, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I don't think that she believes in our Constitution. She does not believe in our kafir form of government, non-Muslim government.
Well,
that's
let's remember now.
Her comment.
Yeah. And let's reiterate this, okay? It was Omar Ahmad, who is the co-founder of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, who stated that, who uttered this statement, Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Muslim Book of Scripture, the Quran, must be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. Now, that is the mission statement from the Muslim Brotherhood Front Group CARE, but that is the mission statement of those who do not believe in the United States of America, who do not believe in our constitutional republic, who believe that Sharia is far superior than man-made laws, which would be our constitutional republic. And I was rightly corrected that the mission statement by the Muslim Brotherhood called the Explanatory Memorandum was written in 1987 at the Brotherhood Shura Council and Organizational Conference in 1987. It was found in a sub-basement in 2004 in Annandale, Virginia. And the Explanatory Memorandum read as follows. The Ikhwan means the Muslim Brotherhood. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. And God's religion is Islam. And so the mission by the Muslim Brotherhood and their front groups, and that would be like the Khan Men of CARE, the Muslim Student Association, Islamic Society of North America, the North American Islamic Trust, the IIIT that Paul Sutliff talks about, the International Institute of Islamic Thought, the Muslim World League, the Congressional Muslim Staffers Association, these organizations, and it's not limited to just them, but these organizations believe that God's religion needs to be made victorious over all other religions. And it's reason why they are proponents of migration, not assimilation, but migrate into a non-Muslim country and turn that Dar el Islam into a Dar el Harb.
Let me tell you, America was founded on the belief of a melting pot, that we are a melting pot. People from all over the world come to America as a melting pot to follow our Constitution and Bill of Rights, to become Americans first, their country of origin second. But what Ilhan Omar had said, that some people did something, and the statement from CARE, that these people are an enemy within. They are not here to be a melting pot. They are here to dominate and destroy our Constitution and Bill of Rights in favor of an Islamic. They are a fifth column operating here in the United States, much like the Marxists, the communists of the Cold War. The Russians were here. They started with the Russian communists started with the peace movement during the Vietnam War. That's where they got their chops. Then they transitioned into the Green Movement, which they're still using today as a power base to operate from. America has enemies. We have an obligation to know who our enemies are, call them out in the public square, and then attack them, dismantle them, and destroy them.
Omar to falsely claim that CARE was founded after 9/11, that's a flat-out lie. And again, the comment of CARE, you know, they will stand behind these lies and this misinformation and the propaganda machine that is out there by these Islamist-like ancestors, Ilhan Omar, representative of Mogadishu. CARE was not founded after 9/11. 9/11 occurred in 9/11/2001. CARE was already underway. As a matter of fact, CARE was founded after the United States government shut down the Islamic Association for Palestine for raising money for terrorist organizations around the world, including Hamas. And the Islamic Association for Palestine, there were two key individuals. It was Nihad Awad and Omar Ahmad, who then left the IAP, Islamic Association for Palestine, and walked across the street in Hunger Shield, and they named it the Council on American Islamic Race Relations. And I believe that was in 1994. So that was 7 years prior to 9/11. And again, there's no accountability for what Ilhan Omar states. There's no accountability for her actions, whether those actions are to defraud the federal government by marrying her brother and committing immigration fraud, whether it's fraudulent filing of campaign finances, whether it's falsely, you know, income tax evasion, whether it's funding her husband, not her brother husband, and using campaign funds to fund his company to the tune of over $1 million. Again, there's no consequences. And she continues to get these rewards. Yeah, and it's almost like Boyce, she's almost like the young daughter of Clinton, you know? Just go ahead and continue to defraud the American people, to defraud the federal government. But then she has the audacity to deny you and me our, or want to deny our constitutional right of free speech because she doesn't agree with your speech. Therefore, you're a hater, you're an Islamophobe, and therefore your speech should be banned. And that's not what our founders ever intended. We should be able to speak out against this dishonesty, this fraudulence that's occurring, and how one sordid individual who has contempt for the United States of America is never held accountable for her actions. She's rewarded and she's excused, and she was excused by the leadership of the United States House of Representatives, including Nasty Pelosi. And it's sickening what we're seeing. And it just goes to show how corrupt our U.S. government has become when people like Nancy Pelosi can simply turn the other way when her fellow party members are found to be engaged in illegal activity, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was then chair of the Democrat National Committee, and they continue to hold on to their committee assignments, their committee chairs, and their key committee assignments. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. Oh. Well, some other news when it comes to the fraudulence of the Islamic world and Nigeria. Muslims murder 32 Christians, destroy 200 houses in raid on Christian town. And so here we have continued violation of UN Resolution 1618 and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which is an arm of the United Nations, is silent. 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 You don't see UN peacekeeping forces going into Nigeria to enforce the inclusive, to combat intolerance. We continue to see more and more Christians being exterminated in Nigeria. 32 Christians killed in northern Nigeria. Abuja, Nigeria, more than 100 suspected Fulani herdsmen and Islamic extremist terrorists on Sunday night, March the 20th, killed 32 civilians, two soldiers, and possibly abducted a woman in an attack on a predominantly Christian town in Nigeria. In northern Nigeria's Kaduna state, the assailants raided the town of Kagoro, Kora County, from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., residents said destroying about 200 houses in four areas. Over 25 Christians were killed, and houses and properties were burnt to ashes in an attack armed by Fulani terrorists in Kagoro. Town resident Samson Luca said in a text message to the Morning Star News. Other comments by area residents echoed the despair. Is this a war declared against Christians? Asked Florence Tachio. Mercy Waziri said, I weep for the people. O Lord, arise and let our enemies be scattered. Gloria Ninan noted, the attack on Kagoro last night led to the killing of innocent men, women, and yes, children in their homes, and houses in the community were destroyed. The atrocity will never go unpunished, no matter how they tried to change the narrative. He gave the name of the missing woman as Mrs. Abigail Joshua from Adan community. More than 200 houses, 32 shops were set ablaze in the attack, and three vehicles and 17 motorcycles were vandalized. On March 21st, the government imposed an indefinite 24-hour curfew on two council areas of Kora and Jimas County, forcing residents to remain indoors could further endanger the lives of Christians in the area, church leaders said. The Reverend Joseph Hayeb, chairman of the Kaduna State Chapter of the Christian Association of Nigeria, said in a statement on Tuesday, March 22nd, that Christians were grieving the continued killings, kidnappings, banditry, and the unimaginable evil going on in our state, unabated without any substantial action by the government and security forces. Kaduna State citizens are tired of the government's rhetorical responses without concrete actions taken to protect lives and property. Accordingly, we want to hear and see the killers and kidnappers arrested, as the government's usual media condemnation whenever there's havoc is not good enough. And folks, this goes to show that the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Cooperations, UN Resolution 1618 is fraudulent. It's a mission to dominate the West. Because if in fact this really was a concern, UN Resolution 1618, the Organization of Islamic Cowards, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and the United Nations would send UN troops and would demand that fellow state members of the OIC, that would be the 57 Islamic State members, would send troops in to Nigeria to assist Christians to live in peace. Because that's what UN Resolution 1618 proclaims to be. It proclaims that we should be combating intolerance irrespective of race, creed, or color, when in fact intolerance is part of the Islamic world. Intolerance of Christians, intolerance of Yazidis, intolerance of Jews. And yet the OIC and the UN are silent. Their inaction speaks volumes. Yet it's the UN who seeks to impose UN Resolution 1618 on the West. And proof of that is in Canada, where Canada submitted, the Canadian government submitted, by adopting M103, which is a version of UN Resolution 1618, to criminalize speech if you're deemed to have criticized Islam. This is exactly what the UN wants. This is exactly what the OIC wants, to criminalize speech if you're deemed to have criticized Islam. And yet, in UN Resolution 1618, it talks about the combating of intolerance, that people should be allowed to practice their religion irrespective of their religious belief system. And yet, the genocide in Nigeria continues. The extermination of Christians in Nigeria continues. OIC is silent. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation, who I call the Organization of Islamic, is silent. They have done nothing for the people of Nigeria. They have done nothing for the Christians of Nigeria. Women being raped, villages being pillaged, children being enslaved and slaughtered. March the 20th, it was 32 Christians. Last year, it was over 2,200 Christians who were killed, slaughtered in Nigeria. And the Organization of Islamic Cowards has the audacity to demand that the West adopt their phony UN Resolution 1618. Here, let me read you what the OIC is trying to scam the West with. Here is UN Resolution 1618. Okay? Here is what the 57 Islamic states, or I should say the 56 Islamic states and the Palestinian territory, want you to think that they care about. Reaffirming the commitment made by all states under Charter of the United Nations to promote and encourage universal respect for an observance of all human rights and fundamental freedoms without distinction as to inter alia, religion, or belief. Really? Without distinction? Without respect? Where is the OIC standing in Nigeria and demanding that their fellow Muslims respect the Christian religion? Huh? Where is the OIC in respecting the 32 civilians, the 32 Christian civilians who were killed? How about the 200 homes that were owned by Christians and respecting their religion? This is yet another scam, another con game by the Organization of Islamic Cowards and the United Nations. Where is the United Nations? Exactly, boy. The United Nations is silent. They should be called the useless nations. Here, number two, reaffirming also the obligation of states to prohibit discrimination on the basis of religion or belief and to implement measures to guarantee the equal and effective protection of the law. I don't think the 32 civilians, the Christian civilians who were killed, got equal protection. Where were their guarantees when their houses were burned down, huh? This isn't just one incident in Nigeria. This is a chronic incident in Nigeria, and the United Nations is silent. Yet they want the United States to pass UN Resolution 1618 to criminalize speech if you're deemed to have criticized Islam? Let them start cleaning up their own 57 states. And by the way, Nigeria is a member of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. They are part of that 57 Islamic state who passed this resolution unanimously, which now Canada version M103 passed. Oh, it's all-inclusive, Vito. It sounds so good, doesn't it? It sounds so good. Reaffirming further that international covenant on civil and political rights provide inter alia that everyone shall have the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion or belief. Really? What about the 32 dead Christians in Nigeria, huh? What about their religious belief? Where are their guarantees that they can hold on to their religious belief and their right to freedom of thought, which doesn't exist in the Islamic world? Huh? Where's the freedom of thought in Saudi Arabia? Huh? Where's the freedom of thought in Turkey? Where's the freedom of thought in Iran? UN Resolution 1618 is a scam, and every day that we pick up the news media, whether you read it in www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com or you read it in Jihad Watch or Memory, Christians being killed around the world. Lahore, Pakistan. Pakistan is part of the 57 Islamic states, and yet Christians aren't guaranteed their right to religious freedom, as outlined in UN Resolution 1618. Every freaking day, there's murders being reported in Nigeria. Every freaking day. And the UN is silent. The OIC is silent. Oh, you can't talk about that because you're Islamophobic. That's the first thing out of their mouth. Oh, you're Islamophobic. No, you're trying to shove down UN Resolution 1618 down our Constitutional Republic's throat, by the way, which is illegal according to Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land, and judges shall be bound thereby. UN law, OIC law, does not have jurisdiction in the United States of America. But the communists in Congress want that to change. The anti-Americans like Omar, like Tlaib, like Presley, they all want to change the U.S. Constitution. And they want to shut you and me up, because the best way to do it is, hey, you're an Islamophobe because they don't agree with you. In the meantime, Christians are being killed in Lahore, Pakistan. Christians are being killed in Nigeria on a daily basis. Tens of thousands of Christians killed over the last 3 years in Nigeria. Where are their fundamental rights? Huh? Where are their rights to religious freedom? Where is their freedom of thought, their freedom of conscience, and their freedom of religion or belief? Violated on a daily basis. And the OIC is not doing a darn thing. The United Nations is not doing a darn thing. We're being scammed, Al. We're being scammed by the very body who professes to take care of what it takes to take care of the world, when in fact they can't even take care of their own 57 Islamic states. Oh, by the way,
yep.
Just so everybody knows, full members of the Organization of Islamic Cowards, cooperation. Algeria, Afghanistan. Oh, there's another one, Afghanistan. Hey, Al, did you hear that the Taliban, much to the surprise of UNICEF, the Taliban now is reneging on the deal to educate children? And what's even funnier is that, again, the useless nations, UNICEF, okay, which is run by the UN, okay, UNICEF is blindsided by this. They are baffled that the Taliban now is refusing to allow girls to be educated. And Afghanistan is a founding member of the OIC back in 1969. Indonesia, Egypt, Chad, Kuwait, Jordan, Mali, Mauritania, Morocco, Niger, Pakistan, Palestine, the state of Yemen, Saudi Arabia, Senegal, Sudan, Somalia, Tunisia, Turkey, Bahrain, Oman, Qatar, the Syria, United Arab Emirates, Sierra Leone, Bangladesh, Gabon, Gambia, which is also having problems with the genocide of Christians, Burkina Faso, okay, another state in which is where Christians are being exterminated, Nigeria, a member of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Amazing, isn't it, Al? Isn't it amazing?
No, it's been going on. Okay, so the OIC, the United Nations are doing nothing about the Christian persecution. So where do you go when there's Christian persecution? Who's the top of the heap? The Pope.
The Pope.
The Pope. In 2015, Pope Francis demanded, an immediate end Thursday to what he called a genocide of Christians taking place in the Middle East and beyond, describing it as a third world war. The Pope has never been afraid, quote from the article in France 24, the Pope, who has never been afraid to weigh into delicate issues, both religious and political, made the comments in Bolivia, the second stop on a three-nation tour. Quote, today we are dismayed to see how in the Middle East and elsewhere the world, many of our brothers and sisters are persecuted, tortured, and killed for their faith in Jesus, Pope Francis said. In this third world war waged piecemeal, which we are now experiencing a form of genocide, is taking place, and it must end. The Pope said that it must end. What has the Pope done since 2015? Absolutely nothing, because these Nigeria attacks, if we're not giving stories of a different attack every week in Nigeria, I don't know who is. But as of right now, the Pope said Wednesday in 2020, he's praying for Nigeria following a massacre of at least 110 farmers in which the Islamist militants beheaded an estimated 30 people. Pope Francis again called for the end of war in Ukraine. His words have no bite. There was a day when Christians fought in the Battle of Tours and stopped the advancement of Islam, saving Europe. There was a day when Christians fought for their own and protected their own faith, because Jesus said, when one part of the body of Christ hurts, the entire body of the Christ hurts. Pope Francis is not doing his job to protect the Christians, and this will keep on going until the church decides that they're going to send in mercenaries to attack these Islamic jihadis who are targeting and killing Christians. But only the Pope can do that. I guess some of the other denominations could do it too, but I think it's kind of up to the Pope. What do you think?
I think it is as well. I mean, I think he's the leader of Catholicism, of Christianity around the world. Where is the Pope on this? He's been pretty silent. 2015. It's almost like it's okay to say something, but there's no actions to it. And really, you know, what was the response to the Islamic conquest back during the Crusades? The Crusades was spawned by what? Islamic conquest, Islamic killings. It wasn't just Christians going out there and just killing Muslims for the hell of it. It was to take back land that was taken by Muslims during their conquest. Their conquest is what? To take over the world. What did Omar Ahmad say of CARE? Islam is not America to be equal, but to be dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. And what was the answer to the Islamic conquest during the Crusades? It was to stem the tide of Islam being the only accepted religion on earth.
By the sword.
It wasn't. Yes, it was not. Christians weren't out there just to kill Muslims. That wasn't the idea. Yeah, it was an answer. It was Muslims who conquested, you know, Cordoba, which was a highly Christian region in Spain.
The church stopped this conquest, this Islamic expansionism, by the sword, through violence. That is all that is understood. There are no treaties to stop the violence with the followers of Islam. You have to do it with violence and overwhelming force. Pope Francis has been silent. He thinks his word will stop the violence. Well, he failed in 2015. He failed again in 2020. He's failing again with Ukraine calling for violence to end. So as far as these stories in Nigeria, they're going to continue. CARE is going to continue their acts here of being a fifth column. They'll continue until they're stopped. And that's just the way of Islamic doctrine and theology. It's nothing against Islam. Islam is an expansionary religious, political faith.
Exactly.
Period. Living in harmony, living in equal with the others, that's something for us weak Westerners and this Republic of the Melting Pot, which they think is decadent, disgusting, drinking. People can do whatever they want. They look at us and they see us. They despise us for who we are. Because how many of those 19 hijackers lived in Florida for years before leading up into their attack?
Yeah.
They had assimilated. They moved into apartments. They moved in. They were getting air flightless. They moved in. They blended in with our American culture until the moment they no longer did. Just like Russian spies did the same thing during the Cold War.
Blend in. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Not everybody thinks that our constitutional republic is the shining beacon on the hill. Many people think that our constitutional republic is something to be taken down a notch, to become more equal with all the other countries. And in the Marxist point of view, our constitutional republic is something to be torn down, destroyed, and replaced with some form of Marxism. Not yet written, but they know that they must destroy what is here. And they are doing it. President Obama is doing it economically. militarily. He's advancing Marxism. Just look at what he's doing. Call it what it is. If you disagree, please call in. We want to hear from you. Call number is 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. If you want to play devil's advocate, play devil's advocate and explain the other side. Because we must understand our enemies from our enemies' point of view if we are to defeat them. And if we don't do that, then we're on our decline.
Well, and the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, carefully laid out what now the Democrat Party is also adopting. And the explanatory memorandum is something that really you should understand. You should read. It's called the explanatory memorandum. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers, so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. And that is the mission statement, not just for the mission for America, but for the West. And we see the advancements that are done in the United Kingdom. We see the advancements that have been done in Belgium, in the Netherlands, and in France. And look at the pushback that's occurred. Look at the pushback in Poland. Poland and Hungary do not allow Muslim migrations into their country. And the Polish president was called a racist by a newsreader. As the Polish president stated, we don't have a problem with terrorism in our country. That is their conscious decision to do so, not to accept any Muslim migration in the country because they understand what that means. Now, suffice it to say, there are peaceful Muslims. There are those that want to just practice their religion and live freely, do not want to live under the bondage of Sharia. And that's fine. But when you have in a collectiveness, in the collective state of the Muslim Brotherhood, and you have organizations, their front organizations, such as the Khan Men of Care, the Islamic Association for Palestine, the Muslim Community Association, the Muslim Student Association, the Islamic Society of North America, at their 55th annual banquet, their keynote speaker was Linda Sarsour, and she instructed her fellow Muslims not to assimilate in America. That spoke volumes as to what the mission is in America. And sadly, you now have the Democrat Party who espouses the destruction of America from within. And we're seeing it just unfold in this last weekend, for crying out loud, Al. I mean, it's truly amazing what we're seeing just in the last week. You know, sadly, President Dummy was sent over to Poland, and of course he gives speeches, and he's standing before the 82nd Airborne, and he's talking about regime change, or was he? So after Biden mumbled and bumbled through his Brussels remarks to NATO 4 days ago, he set off for Poland. And Poland has taken more than 2 million Ukrainian refugees. And as one article states, in a rambling speech after his Warsaw photo op with refugee women and children, Biden concluded his remarks with a decree on Russian dictator Vladimir Putin. For God's sakes, this man cannot remain in power. Now, some in the American news media went, oh my gosh, what is this lunatic advocating? Now, of course, there's very few that will step outside the DNC box and condemn their own, or call out this feckless little fraud at little Joe. And there were some in the news media who were like, wait a minute, is he calling for regime change? For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power. And he was speaking about Vladimir Putin. So now questions start arising. Is Biden calling for regime change in Russia? And quickly, you know, after, well, probably 48 hours later, within 48 hours, the White House figured out that their puppet kind of went off the reservation and they had to do damage control. All of a sudden, the White House steps in and they release their own statement. That's not what he was saying. Then today, during a seldom held press conference, Peter Ducey of Fox News had the audacity to challenge President Dummy, who flat out lied. And of course, here we go again. Biden flat out lies. And you can't say anymore that if President Trump was to conduct himself in that fashion, the media would have a heart attack. Listen, the media was instructed to challenge Trump at every level. Let's forget about that portion of it. The fact is that they are the same media is allowing Biden to be reckless and irresponsible. And he's making baseless statements. But the problem is he's making reckless statements. And at some point in time, some lunatic foreign dictator is going to take this guy at his word. God forbid. But Biden made the statement about President or Vladimir Putin. President, for God's sake, this man cannot remain in power. And the next day, the White House responded and stated, Biden was responding to objections from NATO partners. The president's point was that Putin cannot be allowed to exercise power over his neighbors or the region. He was not discussing Putin's power in Russia or regime change. Now, Al, how would you take that statement if the supposed leader of the free world is talking about a man who has invaded a sovereign nation, Ukraine, and states, for God's sakes, the man cannot remain in power? Putin is not the president of Ukraine. Putin has no power in Ukraine other than sending Russian forces into Ukraine to seize that country. Yes, Putin has power, or Russia has power. Putin has power over Crimea. But I'm sorry, but Al, did you take that statement to mean that Putin cannot be allowed to exercise power over his neighbors? I mean, for God's sake, the man cannot remain in power.
No, he's talking about taking out a sovereign leader of a superpower who has nuclear weapons. Putin can't remain in power, quote unquote. And that was just one part of his gas fest. You're talking about the 82nd Airborne. He was speaking in front of the 82nd Airborne, telling him what it's going to be like when they go into Ukraine with the women and the children and the devastation. He hinted there that the 82nd Airborne will be going into Ukraine to fight. That had to be walked back. And then he does a selfie with a little Ukrainian girl, and he said he wants to take her home.
You and I talked – well, you had pointed this out over the weekend, and Mike Morrell, who was the acting CIA director under Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, had this statement to state. He says, I think his comment that Putin had to go was an unforced error. So now this is the damage control, okay? When Biden has diarrhea of the mouth, it's an unforced error. Just simply an unforced error. It strengthens Putin at home, makes it difficult for any domestic opposition to coalesce together. And no Russian citizen, none, wants to be told by the leader of Russia's main enemy about what their leadership can look like or not. So in that case, Borrell was right. But to call Biden's comments an unforced error, this is a chronic problem with this buffoon. Now we have to look at all of Biden's statements as just, it's simply an unforced error, Al. In the meantime, he's got diarrhea of the mouth. He stands before the 82nd Airborne, as you said, and he makes a statement. Now, there are no Ukrainian military forces in that room. He was speaking directly to the U.S. military, stating there's over 100,000 military troops in that region, okay, Europe and that region. And he implies that you will be seeing action in Ukraine. This is not an unforced error. This buffoon continues to go off script, and it's dangerous. Now, there is a war breaking out in for 2 months now in Ukraine, and Russia is the aggressor. And you have the leader, supposed leader of the free world, making these reckless, unforced error statements. I mean, God forbid this bonehead Biden says something about, you know, the lunatic in North Korea, Kim Jong-un. And, oh, well, it's just an unforced error. Well, excuse me, but may not take it as an unforced error. This is incredible that this man is allowed to even go out in public and give speeches, and then today he absolutely flat out lied about the three statements that he made. He flat out lied. You know, and it's Joe being Joe, it's an unforced error. No, it's dangerous. It's dangerous because this moron in the White House has access to the nuclear codes. Dangerous. I mean, the 82nd Airborne is sitting there, and you're hearing the President of the United States stating that they may see this firsthand in Ukraine. What the fuck is that? And then then Biden prefaces his statement by talking about the Declaration of Independence. What does that have to do with Ukraine? The United States isn't being invaded. Biden told the troops that they are an example to the world, citing words from the Declaration of Independence that all men, he has to be politically correct and add, women are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. If I'm a member of the 82nd Airborne and I'm hearing this buffoon before me talk about all men are created equal, what the hell does that have to do with me being here in Ukraine? In Poland. They see you are a multi-ethnic group of Americans that are in fact together and united in one resolve to defend your country and to help those who need help. That's why you're here. He then shifted to talk about people of Ukraine, saying both soldiers and civilians are showing tremendous courage as they stand against Russian invasion of their country. That's about the only statement that made any sense. You're going to see when you're there. Some of you have been there. You're going to see women, young people standing in the middle in the front of a damn tank saying, I'm not leaving. They're incredible, Biden said. But they take a lot of their inspiration from us. We are the essential nation. Referencing an observation by Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. I mean, this guy, these speechwriters just pulled out all the stops. There's a fight between democracies and oligarchs. In the meantime, you've got Biden who is trampling on the United States Constitution and our constitutional republic. There's nothing inspirational about this guy. There's nothing uplifting about this guy. And he flat out lies.
Well, having an understanding of how words work, it's something for which we should strive. The President of the United States matters. His words can move the stock market. They can cause inflation. And if the President is not careful and does not have a tight enough rein on his wits, his words could start World War III. So, he is the leader of the free world. And when he goes off the cuff like he did, it's more than just a gaffe fest. It's a potential... it's a potential international incident.
Yes.
And meanwhile, in Georgia, someone who does know how to use their words for the good of the United States is the previous administration, President Trump, who had a, he had a rally in Georgia as this was going on last week. Guess how many people showed up?
I would say, what, 100, 150?
25,000 to 35,000 people showed up.
Thousand?
For a President Trump rally in Georgia in the cold. Can you imagine that many people showing up for a politician who's no longer in office?
No. No.
Well, it happens. It didn't even get any ink in any of the papers.
Well, of course not. Of course. There, no. The cabal in Washington, D.C., and this cabal runs all the news medias. They have one mission and one mission only, and that is to take down Trump at any cost. I mean, you've got the media is making a big deal out of a judge making a open-ended statement, non-factual statement, and they're using it as the word of God with Trump and January 6th, and he may have, in my opinion, he may have. And that's all we have is we may have. They don't look at the facts. They don't look at what actually occurred. In the meantime, you have such an effort to this day to take down Donald Trump. But the American people are sick and tired of this. They're sick and tired. They see it. Even the Democrat, the members of the Democrat Party, the citizens out there see it. Every time that they fill up their car with gas, they see it at the pump. They feel it at the pump. They feel it at the grocery store. They see that things are becoming scarce. Supplies, things have skyrocketed in prices. Chlorine for pools. Oil, $5 a gallon for heating oil, $4 a gallon for gas, $5.50, $7 in California. You've got states like Pennsylvania, South Carolina, and Georgia suspending gas sales tax to bring the price, artificially bring the prices down. Why? Because President Dummy and his leftist eco agenda is killing the energy. The energy independence in America, he has killed it. He has killed it. And now the New York Times, of course, is going after Joe Manchin, Senator Manchin, and his energy issues in West Virginia because the left despises fossil fuel and coal. And it's Biden's mission to make America dependent again and to be part of the UN globalist community. It's absolutely sickening what we're seeing. We went from being energy independent. And I don't, you know, think about this. In 2019, American unemployment was somewhere around 3.1%. 3.1%. Dependency on food stamps was in the 30s after being at 49, close to 50% under the Obama-Biden regime. When they left, 49.7% of the American people were dependent upon food stamps. Under the Trump administration, to get people back to work and give them some semblance of pride, get them a job, it was down in the 30s. Over 15%. Tax rates were lower. Corporations from all around the world were coming into America, and they were committing to creating jobs. Creating jobs, which means Americans were being employed, which means that competition would cause a rise in wages naturally, organically, not artificially like the communists in Congress want to do with their phony $15 an hour wage gimmick. And of course, we all know what's going to happen with that now. The 32-hour work week now is being slowly pushed because Americans can't work 40 hours. But how do you compensate for cutting 8 hours? You raise wages artificially. You demand. But in the meantime, we've got President Dummy now who is going to be who is talking about it now, a $5.3 trillion budget. Now, keep in mind in America, the United States takes in $3.86 trillion. And you've got this dumbass in the White House who proposes a $5.8 trillion budget. So right out of the box, there's a $2 trillion deficit. Right out of the box. Not to mention the $1.5 trillion reckless spending spree that was passed by the irresponsible, reckless Pelosi-led House. That's now we're talking about $7.3 trillion being spent by this reckless, progressive Marxist government. We're not just talking about a $2 trillion deficit. Now we're talking about a $3.5 trillion deficit. $3.5 trillion spending deficit. The United States took in $3.71 trillion in fiscal year 2020, and you've got President Dummy proposing a $5.8 trillion budget, and then going back to the same old failed progressive policies of taxing the rich. You know, that failed tagline, that failed soundbite, let's tax the rich. When in fact, it failed. It did not work. And President Trump's economic policy proved it did not work. Because when you tax the rich and you had the highest corporate tax rate at 35%, you had corporations sitting on the sidelines, international corporations sitting on the sidelines with trillions of dollars in their bank balance, and they refused to invest in the United States of America and pay the 35% tax rate. When you lowered it down to 21%, and they became almost, because President Trump wanted 15%, but 21% was enticing enough for corporations, leading corporations from around the world, both progressive and capitalist companies, committing to investing in the United States of America and the American worker, committing billions of dollars a year to help grow the American economy. And as the American economy grows, so does the U.S. Treasury. But now we're going back again, making America mediocre again. Let's go back to the failed policies of the progressives. Let's go back 50 years when Bonehead Biden first came into office and the failed policies that have occurred over the last 50 years. And let's readopt the failed slogans and the failed meaningless sound bites like let's tax the rich. So now Bonehead Biden is going to raise taxes on the wealthy. And again, the idiot in the White House determines that $400,000 is the key number. Your taxes are not going to be raised if you make less than $400,000 a year. Well, my taxes were just raised, dude. I just went to pay for gas, dude, and I just spent $60 more to fill up my tank, dude. I just spent $40 more this last 2 weeks for groceries, dude. I can't afford it anymore, dude. But I make less than $400,000 a year. Oh, but you're a working American. And so this brain-dead Biden is proposing a $5.8 trillion budget. And the United States Treasury takes in $3.86 trillion. You do the math. I don't care if you use Common Core math or if you use the old math. It still goes to show that we have a $2 trillion deficit right out of the box. This irresponsible spending by these progressives is planned. This is all intentional. All this man has done since he's gotten into office is fuck up foreign policy and has spent money recklessly. And he's done it with willing idiots in the United States Congress, including Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And here we go again. And as Boyd said, $6 a gallon in California for gasoline. $4 a gallon in Florida. $4.50 a gallon up the eastern coast. And now you have the state of Pennsylvania, the state of Georgia, all having to suspend their state gas taxes, which means there's less money for infrastructure, which means there's less money for bridges and roads. At least there's less money for graft in those respective states. Less money going to communities as a result of a feckless green scam mentality that now exists in Washington, D.C. And the American taxpayer is paying for it at the pump. And we have a government now that's committed to the Green New Deal scam, which is going to cost the American taxpayer trillions of dollars out of the U.S. Treasury over the next 50 years. Trillions of dollars. This administration will rape the coal manufacturing, the coal mining industry. It's killing the gas industry, natural and fossil fuels. And yet, these rotten SOBs in Washington, D.C. continue to reap the benefits at taxpayer expense. And there's no accountability. There's none. And that should make each and every American sick to their stomach that we have this type of reckless irresponsibility coming out of Washington, D.C. A $1.5 trillion reckless spending spree that occurred just a month ago. 2,741 pages of pork. And now the chief pork, brain-dead Biden, is proposing a $5.8 trillion budget. No wonder our adversaries are flocking in through our southern border and invading the United States as the federal government just simply decides that they are going to dismantle our constitutional republic and bankrupt the United States of America. It's disgusting. We need a regime change in Washington, D.C., and in November, we need to vote out every one of the SOBs in the United States House and bring in new leadership that will stop this out-of-control spending. This is incredible what we are seeing today. It's mind-boggling, Al. It doesn't make sense. You take in $3.86 trillion, but you're going to spend $5.8 trillion, and you have the audacity to claim you're going to balance the budget? You want to talk about double talk? You want to talk about lying and duping the American people? That is incredible. We've heard the same garbage for 60 years. For 60 years, the progressives had told us the same crap, the same old tired failed progressive Marxist taglines. And enough is enough. I was reading some of one tweet that Bonehead Biden sent out. We can restore fiscal responsibility by rolling back the Trump tax cuts. Oh, okay. So at the Economic Forum, there were 18 members of large corporations, CEOs and owners who said – one after another, I'm going to commit $5 billion over the next 5 years. I'm going to commit $150 billion over the next 7 years. I'm going to commit $17 billion over the next 10 years in America. We're going to build manufacturing plants. That's irresponsible?
Well, one of the irresponsible data points in there is President Biden is thinking of taxing unrealized capital gains. So if you buy a stock at 50, it goes up to 100, you continue holding on to it, you will need to pay taxes, capital gains on that, on your profit from 50 to 100 before you even sell the stock, which is a whole thing. But on another note, I'm going to switch gears here and go to the laptop, which has been in the news quite a bit, because Joe Biden, before his presidential election, denied the authenticity of the laptop and assured the American public that there is nothing to any of that. It's all a smear. I think probably a good number of us had our Facebook accounts temporarily closed for 48 hours for even mentioning that the laptop was real. Well, right. On March 9th, before the New York Times published its stunning admission that the laptop was real, Maxi, under a post from Mike Pompeo, announced, "We will have copies in everybody's hands from the Senate to the sheriffs soon." And this is Jack Maxey, who is doing this research, which is phenomenal, because on February 16th, Maxey announced that he was in touch with the New York Times and that he provided them with material from the laptop. They're reviewing Hold the Line, People. But most important, he had also told them not long ago that he was going on a trip to Switzerland in order to prepare one big step. He's going to make the entire Hunter Biden laptop, except the incriminating nude photos and videos, available to law enforcement and to the entire world. The New York Times acted within days, and for the first time, and after having first participated in 2020 in the campaign to dismiss the laptop as Russian disinformation, the newspaper has now confirmed the authenticity of the laptop. Each and every one of us have been lied to regarding this laptop. In fact, I downloaded a link and took a look at some of the, I guess probably well over 1,000 of the emails that Maxey had put up, but that link has suddenly disappeared. I can't access it anymore.
Yes.
So
I
how do you feel, America?
Today.
Oh, you did the same thing? So
same
how do you feel, America? You've been lied to for 2 years. You've been gaslighted for 2 years.
Yeah, and the New York Times goes ahead and releases a story when? Right during the midst of the Russian-Ukraine war. And
right.
Again, it takes a back seat. And it turns out that Hunter Biden is one sordid individual, and he's got Department of Defense encryption keys on his personal laptop.
Right.
I mean,
you started the show with this. It all comes back. It goes full circle.
It does, because, again, if this was one of the Trump kids that had something of this nature on their personal laptops, you would bet the New York Times would absolutely would probe this to the nth degree. They would rake these kids through the coals, okay? And in the meantime, we now know that Hunter Biden is a crackhead. He's a pervert. He's into porn. He was banging Malia Obama. And now it's disclosed that on his personal laptop, he has encryption keys from the Department of Defense.
Think about that as a national security issue.
Yeah.
Those encryption keys, these laptops weren't in a controlled space. They were left at a repair facility and forgotten about. These encryption codes, I'm sure they've all been changed by now, but any spy, and Lord knows there's plenty of spies out there that I'm sure have had access to this laptop for years, could have access to our national security information. And how did he get those security codes, those encryption codes? And was his father responsible for that? Did he have top secret information on that left? I want to find this out. And thanks to Jack Maxey, hopefully we will. But unfortunately, the story, it looks like it's been buried.
Jihad Watch has the story. They've got two articles on there, and I like one of the quotes. I know we're getting down to time here, but I like one of the quotes in here from an IT guy. He says, an IT technical expert advising Maxey's team has speculated that keys present on Hunter's laptop might have allowed Hunter to create throwaway email accounts on DOD servers and thereby route personal and business communications through those servers to escape detection. Now, think about that. That's talk about what type of information are on those emails and throwaway accounts. That's as bad as Hillary Rotten Clinton with her home server.
It's
not
illegal.
Worse. Of course it's illegal. Goodness gracious. This is incredible. It's incredible the double standard that exists. And to have this type of assorted individual who has broken – How many U.S. laws may have been broken by this action to have encrypted keys from the Department of Defense? It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
You know what's unbelievable is that he's not in jail. There's no grand jury being called to investigate this one thing. Forget all the other. All the other sordid business on this, forget the influence operations, the payments from Burisma, the underage hookers, the drug use, forget all that. On this one thing alone, these encrypted keys, there should be a grand jury right now, and it should be filed by the Pentagon, of all places.
Of all places.
The Department of Defense, but nothing.
Yeah.
That's right. Nothing but...
Which should be apolitical. The Department of Defense is supposed to be apolitical. Certainly people have their political affiliations individually, but you're talking about an apolitical. And now you're talking about a Department of Defense that may have been compromised by the President of the United States, the sitting President of the United States, and his son. Wow. Talking about treason? Oh, my Lord have mercy.
Mama mia.
Mama mia. Well, Hank, you missed a good show. hey, tomorrow night, Eric from Kefiris Dan with Radio Free Kefiris. Oh my goodness gracious. Eric from Kefiris Dan with the Cross and the Crescent. Sorry about that, Eric. Great show. Check out his show tomorrow night. Wednesday, you got Hank Jones and Polly Sports, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursday, you've got Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Paul is the author of his latest book, The Cancer of Civilization, Jihad. You can buy that on Amazon.com. I got my copy. Andrew Harrod, Islam and Focus. I'm sorry, Conservative Casual Friday on Friday. Mama mia. Al, I had too much espresso. Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday on Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. And also you can find Andrew on Jihad Watch, some of his articles, brilliant writing, very good. And now speaking of brilliance, we have Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Global Patriot Radio, Saturday evenings at 10 o'clock. Eric from Kefiristan is back with his Radio Free Kefiristan on Sundays, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And then Al and I will be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio include GC and Dave, Airwaves America. Check out their show Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then you've got Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, with her great sidekick, Curtis, 1 to 4 p.m. Friday afternoons, Eastern Standard Time. You got Chief, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. And then you've got a break from politics and a break from Islam. Check out the Simone Nicole show if you want a great self-help show. And our own Golf Dogs was featured last week on Simone Nicole's show, and it was really a cool show. Wednesdays, 8 p.m. on Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com. Joshua hosts that show. Audrey Russo, Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Thursday evenings. Go to AudreyRusso.com, AudreyRusso.com, and check out Audrey's show. Great show by Audrey. She's got some great guests. She's got three guests on and does a wonderful job. Al?
To all my Ukrainian friends, fight hard, kick Russian commie ass, and we'll have some good news next week, I hope.
And I want to thank everybody in the chat room. I want to thank Sue from New Mexico on the switchboard, Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Bring it on, boy. Nice to see you, boy. Ducky from Northwest. Hank Jones jumped in the house. Alaskan Boyd. And I think we had Ron, dogs in the house earlier, too. And I want to thank everybody on the podcast for listening to us. Thank you, Sue, for tweeting out our show. We really appreciate that. You guys have a nice evening. Be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. And Mama Mia no Sharia. Ciao, everybody.
You know what we forgot? talk about the child porn judge. We could have said that Hunter Biden better hope that Ketanji Jackson is her his judge.
Oh, God.
The only way he'll get undone.
Oh my goodness! First, she can't answer the question of, you know, what is a woman? Well, I am not I'm not a biological scientist, really. This is what the woke crowd has come to now. I'm not a scientist, and therefore I can't answer the question.
Well, for her, it's a trick question because Dr. Rachel Levine thinks that he is a woman, therefore he is a woman and should be treated as a woman. So
that
is he not a woman? He believes in his heart that he is a woman. So he is a woman.
That is a great that's a great analogy, Al. Sorry, but that's great. No, that was a brilliant point. I forgot about that.
That's why she couldn't answer the question.
Yeah.
All she had to go with XX chromosomes, female, and that would have been the end of it.
That's right. A male has a penis and a female has a vagina. Boom.
Yeah. You know, she should have answered the question for us since you're having a problem. It's XX and XY is the answer. So you clearly have a different definition of what a woman is. Well, I wish she had furthered that line of reasoning. You think she's going to – I think she's going to get nominated.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And, you know, I've heard some rationale as to why, you know, and you know, why – and again, this is the convenience of breaking the law by Biden. And he broke – you know, he broke discrimination laws. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care that she's black. I really don't. You know what? If she was the most qualified, but you have the president of the United States intentionally discriminating. And this is what we've been fighting for the last 60 years. And it's why the Civil Rights Act in 1964 was passed, okay, to stop the discrimination. And you have the very one of the individuals of the Democrat Party engaged in discrimination. But hey, why, you know what? The mentality now is pick your battles. You know, we're going from a liberal judge to a liberal judge. Well, no, we're going to a radical left-wing judge. At least Breyer had some convictions. This broad, she can't even tell you about who's a female. And why can't she tell you a female? You articulated perfectly. She's got to run cover for what this administration's agenda is. So pick your battles, Al. Pick your battles. Oh, okay.
God,
that's one of the reasons why. Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed with all the battles. Every front, there's a battle.
Oh. It's incredible, man. It's incredible.
Yeah, there's even a battle over my veggie burgers.
Bill
Gates
really?
Wants rich nations to move to 100% synthetic beef. Says people must get used to the odd taste. Well, one, they don't have synthetic beef yet. That's made from cells of an animal, and then they're scientifically just the cells regenerate, and then you get synthetic meat. That's not even on the market. It's too expensive.
Okay.
But so now my Beyond Beef burgers and my Impossible burgers I get at Burger King, they're now part of a Bill Gates conspiracy theory. I'm getting it at every end. I can't take it anymore.
Oh, my God. And then you got Bloomberg News sitting there saying, well, in order to combat inflation, just eat more beans. Eat more beans.
Yeah.
I got to find that clip. I got to eat my beans. Got to eat beans. Really?
Yeah.
That's the answer, okay? To inflation, eat more beef. Eat your lentils, man. Eat lentils. Really?
Yeah. Get a.
Really?
Yeah. Go to the Asian store and get a 50-pound bag of rice and feed your family.
Oh my God! The left beats to a different drum, and the drum is broken, and the drum is half-assed like these people, like their minds. It's just incredible. incredible what we're seeing today out of this left wing. Oh my goodness gracious.
Well, an article just popped up on Flag and Cross. Zelensky accuses the West of cowardice, a new demand for MiGs and tanks. Well, F you, Zelensky, calling me a coward. Go fuck yourself.
How do you really feel?
Oh, that pisses me off. Who does this guy think he is? He didn't get into NATO because he's corrupt. He's not even he doesn't have a democratic country. He's had time to build it, lots of money to arm up. And he accuses us of cowardice after we send him all those after Trump sent him lots of javelins and arrow missiles down. Biden kind of dropped the ball on that, but he sent him a few. And a lot we don't even, you know, when Trump sent him over there, we never even knew about it. It never even made the paper, which is how it should be.
That's exactly right.
But this Zelensky, he can kiss my ass after this, calling us cowards. F you, Zelensky.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm still kind of torn. Sue sent some good material to read, which I'm going to do tonight. Hadn't a chance to look at it over the weekend, but it's just, you know, something's confusing about this. It just doesn't seem right of what's happening, and it's just, you know, this whole thing that we are seeing today in the world isn't right. Something's just not right. And you've got just with the Biden issue, the Hunter Biden issue, you know, why don't we know more about this laptop? So now it turns out that the New York Post was correct. Will Twitter offer it up an apology to the New York Post? Will they? I doubt it.
And
will
pay
they
damages for
yeah.
yeah and pay right. damages for kicking them off of Twitter.
Yeah. And so now we have where the media, the tech company medias in this country conspired with the Democrat Communist Party to silence speech in America that they did not agree with. And that should be a violation of U.S. law. And that is what's the troubling aspect of this whole thing, Al.
And that's not even talking about the vaccine and masks and the mandates.
Yeah. Yep.
Which ended up after 2 years, our point of view ended up being true that the masks don't work and that the vaccine itself worked as a prophylactic but not as a true vaccine. It didn't stop the virus. It just, if you took it and risking the side effects that may or may not happen to you, your symptoms were lessened and it kept you out of the hospital. That's pretty much not, and the, I guess what the problem is the, the negative side effects that can happen to some people. Especially when there are options where you could take the ivermectin and the Z-Pak and you could take that protocol, which did the same thing as the vaccine without the risk of side effects, but that was shut down because of the same issue.
Do you see what the travesty on this whole thing is? This is why it never made sense, and now it does. There was never an effort, at least there was an effort, but there was an effort to squash it, and Trump tried to make it an effort, but there was never an effort to treat the symptoms. There was an effort to control. There was an effort to instill fear, but there was never the therapeutics were never – there was never an effort to help with the therapeutics to treat the individuals. And then those physicians, those medical practitioners who came forward, not just physicians, but medical practitioners who came forward and wanted to treat the symptoms of the China virus, found alternative ways to do so, were summarily rejected, and they were abused in the media. They were downplayed. They were maligned. And they were ostracized from the medical community when, in fact, why weren't we treating the symptom? We weren't.
They were fired from their jobs.
Yeah.
At major hospitals, a lot of these doctors were fired because there was no message. Go out and walk, exercise, get fresh air. There's none of that. Eat well. Lose your obesity because you're going to be a target for this thing. Slim down quickly. Get your diabetes in order, or this virus will you'll be a victim of the virus. There's none of that. It was just go home, don't move, don't go out, and be afraid. And that was all proven wrong now, 2 years later.
And sadly, the drug that was administered, you go on a ventilator. What was the drug that was being administered when you?
Resevere. Was it Resevere?
Yeah, Resevere was it? I can't remember
the name.
Yeah. Remdesivir.
That's it. That killed people.
Yeah. But you know what? Was that by design? Because the only way when people got onto a ventilator, 95% of those people died. 98% of those people died. And they were given remdesivir when they got on a ventilator, and they expired.
And the families couldn't pull them off of it. The families could not give them ivermectin or any other drugs, even though they were knocking on death's door. They had to file lawsuits because the hospital literally took control of an individual.
Yes.
There's some scary, there's no talk of, our rights were taken away from us via mandate.
They were. Man, they were taken away and intentionally taken away.
Yeah, and now 2 years later, we're proven right. So, yeah, I've lost a lot of fight. Everything's a battle. Every front is a battle.
It is. It's a battle, and, we're fighting it from all angles. And again, the United Nations is quiet. They're loving the fact that the United States is engaged in such controversy, and we're going mired more and more debt. More and more of our civil rights are being taken from us and intentionally, and yet there's no outrage,
Yeah. And shoot, if you go on a plane, the TSA hasn't stopped the mask mandate. You still have to wear a mask going into airports.
Yeah, I know.
They got flight coming up. They got an honor flight coming up, and you have to wear a mask. I decided I'm not going on. Yeah, I'm not going on that trip.
Oh, man. I'll tell you. It's still about control, man. It's all about control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we see Biden walking off the plane, without shoes, without a mask, and nobody says a damn word.
Yeah, I saw that video. Biden's coming off the plane in his stocking feet when he forgot to put his shoes on. That was embarrassing.
Right?
That's what makes the world unsafe, because our enemies see that and go, all right, let's go do it. I'm surprised Xi hasn't even made moves into Taiwan yet. I would have done that a month ago.
Yeah, it's on its way. They're posturing themselves. Hell, they're having an issue right now. China in Australia, and Australia seems to have grown a pair with the Solomon Islands. So let's see what happens there. If anything materializes out of that, and they're calling that one the their own what's a Cold War Cuban Missile Crisis. So
interesting. And then Feng Feng was on that plane that went down. I didn't hear that. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's an interesting one too.
Yeah,
why
I'm going to do some
killed
more.
Her? Yeah, why would they have killed her? It's why would why she was going to China where the plane was wasn't it landing in China?
It
took off from China and then it went down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I thought it was the other way. So she was there, and I guess they got all the information out of her they wanted, so they whacked her. That seems odd.
If in fact she was on the plane, okay.
I don't know if I buy it.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, isn't it funny that the first thing you think about when the plane crashed, okay?
Yeah.
And it's a chilling video to see that plane in a vertical drop. Okay. I mean, you know that it's just not going to. No one's going to survive. But it's what's interesting is like the first thing you think about is who was on that plane. And now Bigfoot comes up with Fang Fang was on possibly on that flight, and it's like, holy shit, you know? You just got to – these things are just happened by coincidence. I'm sorry. They just don't.
No.
God, oh my.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Right. In honor of Bill Gates, I'm going to go eat my – I'm going to have an Impossible Burger in his honor tonight for dinner.
Oh, great. Great. Enjoy your plastic burger, and
I will.
And, you know, have two of them, much. By the way. Have one for me, will you?
I will. You won't eat one ever.
You know, I've eaten a veggie burger once in a while, so yeah, you know.
Hey, so. You drink soy milk? Who would have thought? I never would have guessed.
Actually, thanks to Joshua's show, I switched to almond milk.
Ooh. That's good.
Yeah.
Almond cashew is very good.
Oh, I love almond milk. Oh my God. I don't drink. I haven't drank regular milk in I don't know how long. I went to soy milk, and then one of the nutritionists on Joshua's show said men shouldn't absorb that much soy. So drink almond milk, and so I started drinking almond milk.
Because my wife started. Taking a liking to Planet Oat milk, the oat version.
Planet Oat?
Planet Oat. It's oat milk.
Okay.
It's Planet Oat is the name of it. And she's taking a liking to that.
Huh.
So 5 years ago, if I said, hey, Vito, you're going to be drinking soy milk, you tell me to shut the F up, get out of here.
I say, hey, Al, forget about it. You and who else's army is going to go ahead and have me drinking soy milk.
Now look at you.
See that? I've matured. Yeah. I've matured, Al.
Yeah, try the almond cashew is good too. That's a little smoother.
Almond cashew. And I'm going to write that down. Almond cashew. And then what's the other one? Oat?
Yeah, Planet Oat, I think is the name of it.
Planet Oat. All right.
Wendy likes that one.
I'm going to try. Yeah, well, that's the one. Okay, so that's the lady that was the nutritionist on Joshua's show. So,
yeah, Planet Oat milk is the name of it.
All right. Oh, hey, before you go, I got it really quick. And I know you may have to go. I know you want to get to your plastic burger, but this is just a minute. Okay. Did you hear this?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, member of the squad. Leading socialist superstar, repeatedly attacks Israel and the Jewish people, even comparing U.S. border security to Nazi death camps. There's more. She opposed New York City subway improvements, wants to defund the police, even as violent crime continues to rise in New York City. She demands mask mandates, but was caught at a Miami bar with no mask at all. And while AOC attacks the rich, she lives a lavish lifestyle, accepts expensive gifts, and violates ethics laws. New Yorkers deserve someone who will fight for us to make New York better. Tina Forte, wife, mother, grandmother, small businesswoman, patriot. Tina Forte joined parents to reopen schools for our children
and supported our law enforcement. Bronx-born and raised, Tina Forte fought corrupt politicians, including suing Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio for executive orders that destroyed our economy, small businesses, and robbed our children of a valuable education. Tina Forte for us. Tina Forte for Congress. She will stop AOC and her ego-driven socialist agenda, destroying New York and America.
How cool is that?
I hadn't heard that.
That was a great campaign. Yeah. She's running in New York, but hey, you know what? Who cares? Because everyone can vote anywhere now. So,
yeah.
Holder sent me that. It's like, oh man, I wasn't sure if it uploaded today, and it did. I was looking through just looking through some of the stuff I tried to upload, and that did upload, and it took. So, I'll have to play it next week.
Definitely, that's good. I'll vote for her. I like her already.
Yeah,
Tina Forte.
Tina Forte. She's got some controversial videos. You remember, you know, but she's running for Congress.
Well,
she's
a
woman.
Bright, a woman, an XX woman, not an XY woman.
Not an XY woman. She's a chromosome, whatever the chromosome Y is. Is it that Y?
Yeah. Her name wasn't Ken.
No.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Is that
someone's
Sue?
Here?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey. This will just take a second. I don't know if you heard that. You know what Biden's doing with the 100,000 Ukrainian refugees he's letting in? He's locking them up in the cages at the border and releasing the illegal aliens. That's where he's putting these Ukrainian refugees.
No.
Anyway, that just came out last night or today, I don't remember. But that's all I know. Al wants to get to that further. So I just wanted to let you know that. I'll see if I can find more information on it. But the news is just saying, you know, nothing about it.
Oh,
can you believe locking them up at the border?
I can
believe
it.
He doesn't want Christian refugees. He doesn't want Christian refugees coming. They will make good citizens. They will assimilate into our society and be productive members right off the bat.
Well, most of them want to go back to Ukraine. I don't even know if they'll stay, you know. But and he's emptying out even more at the border of these illegal terrorist cartel members and shipping them into the U.S., you know, and locking up these people. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Get to your burger.
Thank you, Sue. That's great info.
I will, and I will like it.
Send me a DM of if you find anything on it. Let me know, okay? And we'll also definitely talk about it next week, okay?
Yeah, you'll have to call in and give us a report,
Sue.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't say anything earlier because I still got to research it and confirm it, but I believe it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, take it easy, Sue.
All right. Have a great week, Sue. Thank you.
Get back to your burger, Al.
That's going to be the butt steak of all jokes.
Yeah. No, it's not right. It's not right. Okay.
I'm going to get grinded up like a burger.
Yes. But you enjoy it, okay? I'm going to have a steak.
Hey, douchebag says what?
Huh?
All right.
Oh, man.
Great
hey,
show.
Have a good one.
All right, you too, and have a good week.
Thank you. You as well. Don't work too hard, and we'll talk to you, man.
All right, be good.
Now,
you
bye,
too,
Sue.
Have a great week.
That's all, folks. Thank you, Busy Black Radio. Teacher.